Who or what is God's channel of communication on earth today? This is the JW Review. If you're unfamiliar with Jehovah's Witnesses, they have a pretty bold claim. In fact, it's their leaders, really, who are making the bold claim. Now, their leaders are the governing body. That's what Jehovah's Witnesses call them, and that's what they call themselves. Now, this is basically just a group of men who are currently residing in Brooklyn, New York, who will soon be moving to Warwick, New York. And anyway, these men claim to be God's sole channel of communication on earth today. And they believe that the Watchtower, who is basically the printing corporation through which the governing body, I guess, communicates or publishes the literature. So whenever you open up a Watchtower magazine or a Watchtower publication, you are, in essence, reading the words of the governing body. So Jehovah's Witnesses are going to believe that what they are reading is coming from God's sole channel of communication. Of course, we all know that the governing body doesn't itself write everything. However, if it is published by the Watchtower, you can assume that the governing body has provided its stamp of approval, because they require that all Jehovah's Witnesses believe unquestionably what is written in those publications. So what does it mean to be God's sole channel, or just channel, of communication? Now, most Christians who are not Jehovah's Witnesses probably don't think much about that question. And when they approach a Jehovah's Witness who's going to make this extremely bold claim and saying that the Watchtower or their leaders are God's sole channel of communication on earth today, most Christians are going to be pretty blindsided by that type of claim, mainly because they've never heard it. It doesn't really resonate, because most others, maybe with the exception of Catholics and Mormons, don't really make claims quite like that. So let's talk about the Watchtower, or the governing body, as being God's channel of communication, and why they believe that, and what that really means. In a 1958 Watchtower, this is August, on page 485, they claim, "Today, the Watchtower Society is being used as a legal servant by God's channel." So the channel is the governing body, and the Watchtower is that legal servant that's being used. So in essence, what you're reading from the Watchtower is the words of the channel, which is the governing body. Another Watchtower in the 2009, November 15th, page 14, it claims, "We need to guard against developing a spirit of independence. By word or action, may we never challenge the channel of communication that Jehovah is using today. On the contrary, we should cherish our privilege to cooperate with the slave class. And should we not strive to be obedient and submissive to those taking the lead in our local congregation?" So in essence, don't challenge the governing body ever, because they are God's channel of communication. In other words, God is speaking through them, therefore you should listen to them and obey them no matter what they publish in the literature. In an October 1994 Watchtower, on page 8, it says, "Jesus assured us that after his death and resurrection, he would raise up a faithful and discreet slave that would serve as his channel of communication." And just to offer some clarity here, at the time, the Watchtower believed, in essence, that the faithful and discreet slave was the entire anointed class of 144,000. Well, just a few years ago, they revised that, or changed it to where now the faithful and discreet slave is exclusively the governing body. So I just wanted to clear that up. But in essence, what they're saying here is still true from a Jehovah's Witness standpoint. It continues, the Apostle Paul identified this channel to the Ephesian Christians when he wrote that there might be made known through the congregation the greatly diversified wisdom of God according to the eternal purpose which he formed in connection with the Christ, Jesus our Lord. It was the congregation of anointed Christians born at Pentecost 33 CE that was entrusted with the things revealed. As a group, anointed Christians serve as the faithful and discreet slave. Their appointed assignment from God is to provide spiritual understanding of the things revealed. So really, when you're reading this, you just have to basically, instead of it talking about the whole anointed class, you just have to paste in there the governing body to where this meaning could still, in essence, be applied today. But in essence, what they're saying is that the faithful and discreet slave class, which is the governing body, is the channel of communication. In 1967, October 1st, Watchtower, on page 590, says, evidences are now conclusive that Jesus Christ was enthroned in heaven in 1914 CE, and that he accompanied Jehovah to his temple in 1918 CE, when judgment began with the house of God. After cleansing those belonging to this house, who were alive on earth, Jehovah poured out his spirit upon them and assigned them the responsibility of serving as his sole visible channel, through whom alone spiritual instruction was to come. Those who recognize Jehovah's visible theocratic organization, therefore, must recognize and accept this appointment of the faithful and discreet slave and be submissive to it. So what they're saying is that only that organization of Jehovah's Witnesses, specifically the leaders, they're the only ones through whom spiritual instruction is to come, and you must recognize that. That is essential to actually your salvation, and you must be submissive to it, which means you need to believe everything that they put in print. Now, what about the days prior to the Watchtower Bible and Tract Society and the modern-day governing body as the Jehovah's Witnesses have it? Well, they had some other examples in the literature to show who was God's appointed channel prior to the establishment of the Jehovah's Witness religion. The 1958 August 15th, Watchtower on page 485 says, upon his being baptized at the Jordan, Jesus, the Son of God, began to serve as his Father's channel of communication to men. So at that time, in the first century, Jesus was the channel of communication to men. In a 1960 Watchtower, July 15th, on page 439, it says, how is this divine will to be made known and brought to the attention of the worthy multitudes of men of good toward Jehovah? Again, the awake world watchmen, the slave class, must undertake another world educational campaign following their restoration as witnesses after 1919. Such a global work has now been underway for more than 40 years and is reaching its fruitful culmination. The facts show that during this time and up to the present hour, the slave class has served as God's sole collective channel for the flow of biblical truth to men on earth. Just as the early Christian congregation collectively served as the channel of communication from heaven to earth, so in our time. So here's another instance where they do talk about the modern day slave class being the channel of communication, but in the first century, you had the Christian congregation being the channel of communication, and I would assume that would mean the apostles, or who the Jehovah's Witness believe to be the governing body, which they believe is laid out as an example in Acts chapter 15 with the Jerusalem Council. So in the first century, that would be the channel of communication. a 1955 watchtower on May 15th on page 307 says, "But as for Noah, he knew for a certainty that Jehovah was communicating inspired instructions only through him. His own wife, his three sons, and their wives believed Noah and accepted him as God's sole channel of leadership." So we can just show from that and correlate it to the other prophets of old that the prophets who spoke inspired revelations from God, those were God's channel of communication. So we just see just several different examples from Watchtower literature disclaiming who was God's channel of communication prior to the Jehovah's Witnesses. Well, it would be Jesus, the first century apostles, and it would be the Old Testament prophets. That would be God's channel of communication according to the Watchtower. So what can we conclude from this, just this section? Just from where we see the Watchtower's view of God's channel. Well, first we can see that God's channel of communication should not be questioned. Second, God's channel must be appointed by God. Third, prior to the Jehovah's Witnesses, the biblical prophets served as God's sole channel of communication on earth. So let's analyze these claims. Let's analyze them from a biblical perspective, more specifically. So first, who was God's channel at the time of Jesus? A 1986 Watchtower on May 15th, page 12 says, "When Jesus Christ was on earth, Israel was still God's channel. And any who wished to serve Jehovah had to do so in association with his chosen nation." So at the time, Israel, they were still Jehovah's people, though they were rejected as God's people when they rejected the Messiah. And at the time, the Pharisees believed that they were the ones speaking for God. And they probably believed that to doubt them was actually to doubt God, because they were the established leaders at the time. And you can just read through the Gospels and the book of Acts, and just to show how the Pharisees viewed being questioned. At the time when Jesus arrived on the scene, how would people know who truly was God's channel of communication? So Jesus really put a kink in this establishment, because as the Watchtower says, at the time, Israel, or more specifically, the leaders of Israel were God's channel. But then you have Jesus entering into the scene, who challenges God's channel of communication, which was the leaders. So that's really interesting that someone can come in and challenge the channel of communication. And of course, we can look at that and say, well, of course, Jesus could challenge the channel of communication, because he could speak in behalf of God. He had authority because he was the Son of God, and he could say things that were inspired by God. So of course, he could challenge the human leaders at the time. So second, let's identify the channel. So according to the Watchtower, if you are God's channel, you should not be questioned or disagree with. Yet, this channel teaches many things that are not from God. And that can be proven, that can be admitted by the Watchtower, that they have taught a lot of things that are false. And if you want just one really good example of that, just read the old publication called The Finished Mystery. Or if not that, just read through Watchtower publications, and you're going to see things that the Watchtower once taught, but now they believe that what they once taught was false. So here's one of many problematic assumptions. It's that God's channel of communication is man. They are men. So here's the answer to that. Here's how I think, the biblical way to look at God's channel. So actually, in reality, as I see it, God's channel of communication is actually not man, but through men. So more specifically, God's channel is man, or anything through which he communicates his word. Therefore, it's not that anyone is God's channel of communication. It's whether we or anyone utilizes God's channel, which is his word. So just to give you an example, we can look at the Apostle Peter and the Ethiopian eunuch. And so we see an example where the Ethiopian eunuch is trying to read a scroll from Isaiah, and he's just not understanding what he's reading. So he basically asks Peter, "Hey, can you come over here and explain to me what I'm reading, because I can't understand it?" So in essence, Peter taught him what the scroll of Isaiah said, and that it pointed to the Messiah. And so now the Ethiopian eunuch has his eyes opened, and now he believes and he gets baptized. So what we see from that is not that Peter himself is the channel of communication. No, it's that the scriptures were the channel of communication, and Peter acts as a supplement to the channel, and he explains what God's channel is saying. So I think that's a much more consistent way to view God's channel of communication and what God's channel actually is. So I think that this understanding is far more biblical and far more consistent, because we can then claim that God's channel is infallible, always inspired, and should never be disagreed with, because God knows everything and God is infallible. So what God says is truth, and you can't disagree with God. So contrast this to the governing body, because this is a group of fallible, non-inspired, error-prone men who should be questioned when they are teaching something that is false. So here's my challenge for the Jehovah's Witnesses, or for you, if you're not a Jehovah's Witness, to challenge the Jehovah's Witnesses with these points. So when the governing body teaches something that is false and unbiblical, what are the biblical grounds for choosing to believe them anyway? So let me just give you one example. So the governing body for a very long time taught that the faithful and discreet slave class was the whole anointed class with a heavenly hope. So obviously Jehovah's Witnesses now think that's false. So what would the biblical grounds be for a Jehovah's Witness, let's say in the year 1990, who believed that the governing body is teaching something that is false, namely that the faithful and discreet slave is the entire anointed class? Well, that Jehovah's Witness thinks that that's wrong. He thinks that it's more biblical to conclude what Jehovah's Witnesses conclude today, which is that the faithful and discreet slave class is the governing body exclusively. So should that Jehovah's Witness believe the governing body even when he, in his conscience, believes that they are teaching something that is false? So what is the biblical grounds for Jehovah's Witness believing something anyway that he knows to be false? Next, when the governing body teaches something that is false and unbiblical, what are the biblical grounds for condemnation when the governing body is rightly challenged for teaching something that is false? So why should a Jehovah's Witness be subject to discipline when he challenges the Watchtower for something that is patently false? And you could choose a myriad of examples for that. Next, if it's always wrong to question God's channel of communication, then would it have been wrong for a first century Jew before Jesus to challenge the Pharisees. And at that time, God's channel, or look at other times in Israel's history where God's channel was teaching something that is false. So is it always wrong for God's channel, even if they are God's channel, is it wrong to question them or challenge them? So in the first century, if God's channel was in fact the governing body, which would have been the apostles and those who made up the Jerusalem Council, if that was God's channel, then how could the Apostle Paul have challenged the Apostle Peter in Galatians chapter 2? Just read that account in Galatians chapter 2, where Paul openly challenges Peter, who would have been at the time a governing body member. So let's just say that the Apostle Paul was a governing body member, and I've seen different things in the Watchtower literature. Maybe he was, okay. Let's just say that Paul was a governing body member. Is it wrong for a governing body member to challenge another governing body member? So you basically have God's channel questioning God's channel, or challenging, or disagreeing with, or publicly rebuking God's channel. Now, that's actually worse if Paul was not a governing body member, because in essence, Paul is openly challenging God's channel. So we have to ask, is the Watchtower being consistent when they say that God's channel of communication should never be challenged? So I think what we have here in summary is that the Watchtower, I think, has a completely wrong perception as to what God's channel actually is. It's not man, it's not a group of men, but it's God's inspired, infallible word. For more information about Jehovah's Witnesses and other topics, please visit michaeljfelker.com. There you can also reach me directly to submit questions or comments to be covered on the JW Review. To subscribe to this podcast, please go to iTunes and search for the JW Review.